And we're holding on Yud Beis Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if a person finds a lost Shtar Chayv, so we said, if there's a Chrayus Nechosim, then you shouldn't return it, because then you might, then it might be a possible Shtar, and you're taking away property from buyers, from the Kochos, that's Nechosim Meshabadim, improperly. The mayor says if there's no achrayus nechosim in it, then you don't have that problem, and go ahead and return it. The chum say either way. So far we said we're talking about, the missionary is talking about kishachayev moideh, the loiver agrees that the shtar, that the loan is still outstanding, but the problem is that maybe the shtar was written in Nissan, and he didn't actually borrow until Tishrei. So we said, according to Tosfos, that means, in other words, that he may not have even borrowed yet. According to other Rishonim, it means that he already borrowed, but nevertheless, the shtar is predated. And we said, since the shtar has a reyasa already, since it got lost, that itself creates a concern that maybe there's something wrong with this shtar, and therefore that gives us more of a reason to be careful about returning it, where we wouldn't have taken the same care if the malva still had it. So the Gemara says, Eloha Ditnan. Okay, in that case then, what about this that it says in a Mishnah, in Bava Basra, Kosvin shtar loiva afishen malva imoy. You're allowed to write a shtar for a loiva even though the malva is not with him. Meaning, in other words, exactly that. The loiva comes to a sofer and says, I want you to write a shtar that I borrowed $100 from Pliny. Then the sofer can do that, and that would actually work even before the halva has been done. So you don't have to say the malva has to be with you in order that we know the halva took place. The sofer can write it in. Tosfos points out, by the way, that the fact is that he's writing a chayv for himself, and he can be moida anytime he wants on a chayv that he owes. Therefore, it's not mechzi kishikra, so it doesn't look like a lie when he's writing a shtar like that, even though there may not be a loan. Because the fact is, it doesn't matter. He can be meshabed himself anyway. So actually, the Maharam Shif points out really that Tosfos elsewhere explains. Tosfos is mentioning over here the concept of a shouted dining, which means when the dayanim certify, when they do kiyum shtaris, they can't write that before the actual edim comes to testify, or whatever it is, before they have one of the various ways to be mekayim the shtar, they can't write the ashtarta because it looks like a lie. But Tosfos says elsewhere, anyway, we don't pass them like that, so over here, Tosfos has no reason to be asking from that case anyhow. But the bottom line is, since he can be moida anytime he wants, on whatever he wants, then therefore it's not merci to shikra. Anyway, so the question is, still, how are we allowed to write the shtar? Fine, we're not concerned about like Tosfos says, of merci to shikra, that it looks like a lie. And the fact is, he is able to be meshabed himself. But what about everybody else? What about other people that he sells property to? Nechol shem akosav lilvis benissen v'lo lavad tishrei. Shouldn't we be concerned the same thing, that he may have had the shtar pre-written long in advance, but also the mitzvah for kochus shaloi kadin, and he's going to end up taking from the kochus improperly? So fine. In the case of our Mishnah, you have a reyasa, and therefore we're concerned about that. But why in general are we not concerned about that when a loiva comes to a sofer to write a shtar without the malva being present, and the halva may not have even taken place yet? So the answer is, Omer Avasi, v'shtari hakna. The answer is, we're talking about a shtar that has, a shtar that involves a hakna, that he's makne his nechosim, that as of today, whether he ends up borrowing or whether he doesn't end up borrowing, he's saying, I'm taking on the shibud as of today. So whether we're talking about that that's actually written into the shtar or not, Rabbi Nachmanel seems to say that not. He says that just we're talking about, they made a kinyan chalifin separately, that there's a hakna involved. On the other hand, the Rosh understands Rashi to be saying that it is actually written into the shtar. Whatever the case, the hoshabed nafshe, now therefore he was meshabed himself as of now, and therefore that creates the shibud right away, even though the halva takes place only later, and even though the shtar only reaches the malva later. So it doesn't matter the fact that it doesn't matter the fact that it's a shtam mukta. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara asks, Yehochi masnisin nami. Well, in that case, then, in that Yehochi masnisin to katoni im yeshben achrayus nechosim lo yachzer. Well, then let's go back to our Mishnah that said that if the shtar chayv has achrayus nechosim, if it has the regular clause in it that says that says that all of my property is all the real estate that I own now and that I'm going to buy in the future is meshubad to you. And we said if such a shtar is lost, you shouldn't return it, because we said there's a problem that then you might take away from lekuchas improperly. But ukimna kishachayev moida, and we established before in the Gemara that we're talking about chayev moida, we're talking about that the loiva admits that he actually still owes this money. And the problem we said is, why don't we return it? Mishum shemakos of lovus benissim v'le lovad tishrei. Because again, he may have had the shtar pre-written months in advance. V'osi l'mitrach l'kochus shalai kadin, and he's going to take away from l'kochus improperly. Well, the question is, now that we're saying, now that Rav Asi is saying, regarding the Mishnah in Baba Basra, that we're talking about shtore hakna, So then, in that case, samay lo yachzer. So why, in the case of our Mishnah, should he not return the shtar? Nechsi, eva shtar hakna. Let's see what kind of a shtar it is. If there's a shtar hakna, if there's something actually written in the shtar implying that he was makna all his nechosim as of when the shtar was written, like we said before, or maybe, okay, there's not a shtar, it's not written in the shtar. Maybe there's a kinyan about it, and we can find edim to that effect or whatever. Then, so what's the problem? So, amai lo yachzer. So why shouldn't he return it? Nechsi ibe shtar akna hashabed lenafshei. Then he was meshabed himself, so there's no problem to return it, because there's no osil mitra fakuchas shaloi kadin, because as of when the shtar is written already, he took on himself the shibud that anything that he owns now and any property that he owns now and anything that he owns in the future is going to be under a shibud for the debt. And the other buyers will know about it, same way as any time there's something involving a shtar, they know, especially the Rosh points out, if we learn that this clause is actually written into the shtar, then it's something highly unusual to have in a shtar, and therefore there's definitely a quarrel about that. And if it's a shtar that doesn't have that hakna, then there shouldn't be a problem. There still shouldn't be a problem that maybe he wrote the shtar and hasn't yet taken out the loan. We just said, Rav Asi had said, that unless it's a shtar hakna, you anyway can't write it for the loiva when the malva is not present. And that would mean also that the malva being present would also have to mean that the edim actually saw the money changing hands. So what is the case of our Mishnah where on the one hand we're saying the shtar could have been written, but now that it's lost, we're concerned that it might have been written early and not yet used. So what is the case? If we're talking a shtar hakna, then it doesn't matter how much earlier it was written. And if it's not a shtar hakna, then it wasn't supposed to be written in the first place. So what are we dealing with? The answer is, Omalach Rav Asi, Afagav the shtori de la hakna, ki leka malva ba'adei leka svinan. It is true, Rav Asi will tell you, that when the shtar doesn't include hakna, then you're not supposed to write it when the malva is not there, because as we said, precisely that problem. He might write the shtar early, and then an halva hasn't been taken out yet. And meanwhile, therefore, he didn't do a hakna, so therefore the shibud comes into effect only when he actually borrows the money, and you have the problem therefore that the shtar was pre-written. Nevertheless, masnisin given the nafal, it's true. Ordinarily, we wouldn't have a concern when we come across a shtar choyv. We're not concerned that maybe it was written early. We assume most shtaris are kosher. And therefore, and because we say unless there's hakna in it, it wasn't supposed to be written early, and therefore when we find a shtar, we assume if it's a shtar hakna, then okay, it can be written any time. And if it's not a shtar hakna, then we assume that everybody followed the rules and wrote it on the date that the loan was actually taken out. So that's fine. But in our Mishnah, given the nafal, again, like we said before, because the shtar had fallen and gotten lost, therefore, Israelay, therefore, we have a reyaser, we have the chazakah that has been damaged, b'chashin, d'ma ikri v'kosu, so we have to be concerned that maybe punctin happened this time, that this shtar was written in a way that shouldn't have been, that it wasn't a shtar hakna, and yet it was written without the malva being present. So therefore, you're back to the problem that. So therefore, you're back to the problem that you might take away from Lekuchas Shaloi Kadin. So when there's no achrayus in the shtar, then fine. Then there's no concern about taking away from Lekuchas. The Chachamim who are going to hold, as we're going to say later in the Gemara, achrayus tos sofer, so they don't care whether it says achrayus or not, because either way, it has the same effect. But the point is that, yes, ordinarily with a shtar, we wouldn't be concerned about such things. But again, once the shtar has a reyesa, then Rav Asi would say we're concerned even for things that don't normally happen, because the very fact that the shtar was lost makes us suspicious that there might be something wrong with the shtar. All right, so all of that is one answer. So again, then the so in short, what we're saying is, if it's a shtar hakna, then there's no problem writing it for the loiver without the malva being present, and before the loan has been taken out. If it's not a shtar hakna, such a shtar is not supposed to be written in the first place. However, here when we find a lost shtar, then we have to be concerned that it was that it was something that was written again in violation of those rules. Abaya gives a different answer. How is it that in the Mishnah in Bava Basra, we allow a shtar to be written for the loiva without the malva present? So again, Rav Asi is saying you have a specific type of shtar, or a specific case involving the shtar. A shtar hakna, again, whether we learn that hakna is actually written into the shtar or not, depending on the different rishonim. So all of that, again, Rav Asi's answer then was one way of understanding what it means that you can write such a shtar is only by a shtar hakna. Abaya says you don't need that. Eid of Bachasum of Zochin Loi, as soon as the Edim, the very fact that they sign the shtar, that itself is mezaka to the malva, whatever amount is written in the shtar and the shibud that's in the shtar. So therefore, that would work even when the shtar is not a shtar hakna, because as soon as they sign, Abaya is going to say, you don't have to say like Rav Asi, we're talking about a shtar hakna, because from when they sign it, then already the shibud takes effect. So if they had written the shtar in Nisan and the loan didn't actually take place until Tishrei, Abaya says it wouldn't matter. The fact that the Edom signed the document in Nisan is enough that the shibud takes effect in the first place. And that way, Rashi points out that neatly avoids the problem of how we reconcile that with our Mishnah. Because now we're saying that it doesn't matter shtar hakna or not, they can all be written early. However, in our Mishnah, we're talking about that the concern is he may not have even borrowed the money yet. Now, the Gemara is going to ask too, and wait, how does that bypass the question? On the contrary, if Eid Baksum of Zochin Loi, then you always have, as soon as it's signed, there's a shibud, so there's no problem of taking away from the Lekuchas improperly. So the Gemara is going to take, so Rashi points out the Gemara is going to take up that point soon. Soon the Gemara is going to point out a different angle in this whole matter of what the deal is regarding this shtar. Tosfos points out, by the way, that now you have the famous issue of shtori chayv hamukdamim hamukharim at the beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us why is it important to have a defined date when Jewish kings begin ruling and when Goyish kings begin ruling. Why don't we just say their year begins from whenever they became king? Why do we need a fixed date for Shkodesh Nissen or Rosh Hashanah, as the case may be, is because you have the problem that you may have a predated or postdated shtar. Based on what Abaya is saying over here, Tosfos points out, what's the problem? It wouldn't be predated or postdated because what's the problem? Eidu Bachsum of Zochin Loi, as soon as they sign it, then already there's Zosha for it. So Tosfos explains actually that the problem is not so much that, so Rashi explains over there that you're going to find a shtar, let's say Rashi says that's written in Kislev of year three of the king, and the malva wasn't there and you had the shtar written anyway, so we don't know what came first in the third year, Kislev or Tammuz, let's say, and therefore you don't know whether it's a shtar muktam or mu'ochar. So Tosfos is saying it's not like that. Based on all Gemara, at least according to Abaya, that shouldn't be an issue, because whatever the case, Eid Bachsum of Zochin, like whenever they signed it, is when the shibud takes effect. So rather, Tosfos says what it is Sofer himself may be mistaken. He may think that the king, it's a different year of the king than it really is. say, for example, Tosfos says that the king assumed his assumed the throne on the 29th of on the 29th of Adar, and the sofer doesn't realize. Therefore, comes the next year, the 29th of Adar, he's going to think that the king had that the guy had become king only on Aleph Nissan. He's going to think it's still Adar of the first year. Really, already it's Adar of the second year because the year begins in Nissan, and therefore he. So if he mistakenly writes year one, for sure it's going to be puzzle. You can't say Adar Bachsum of Zachin Loi because the fact is nothing took place at that time. There were no Adim and there was no Loiver or anything on Choftes Adar of the first year, only of the second year. So that's how Tosfos explains the matter. So in other words, there is a concept of Shtari Chayv HaMokdomin, our puzzle, even according to Abaya, but that would have to be where it's predated in a way where, in fact, the Adim and nobody were actually present at the time written in the Shtar, as opposed to here we're talking about the Shtar is written with a date. The Adim were present. The Loiver was present. The Halva may not have taken place yet, but Abaya says that doesn't matter. Adar Bachsum of Zachin Loi. Okay. And the Gemara says, the reason why Abaya learns that way, Mishrim Dekashulei, because he has the problem with what Abaya, with what Rav Asi is saying. Given to Amrit B'shtari V'lav Akna, he less of a malva ba'adei like Hasvinin. You're telling me, Rav Asi, that when it's not a shtar hakna, you can't write it for the loiva without the malva being present, because with a shtar d'lav hakna, then you have the problem is that people are going to look at the date on it and think that the shibud takes effect as of then, when really it takes effect only when the loan is taken out. Well then, Abaya says, "Lekel meifresh de ikri the kosuv." Then there's no problem that maybe it punked happened. They wrote such a thing. If the law is that you're not supposed, if the rule is you're not supposed to write such a shtar, then we can assume that that such a thing didn't take place, and there's no reason to be choshesh that even Abaya is saying, "Yes, I agree. The shtar has a reisa because it fell and we found it, and so on and so forth." But to go so far as to say that maybe the shtar to begin with was written illegally, that we're not going to go so far as to say. So therefore, that requires Abaya to say that Eidah Bachsum of Zachin Loi, to explain the Mishnah in Bava Basra, we say that always you can write a shtar for the loiva, even when the malva is not present. Doesn't matter whether it's a shtar hakna or not. And therefore, that explains why it is that such a shtar could be written in the first place. As far as why it is in our Mishnah then that you can't return it, that the Gemara is going to get to in a little bit. So first though, the Gemara asks, now Tosfos points out, does that require a buyer to come up with this new concept of Eidah Bachsum of Zachin Loi? The Gemara is going to point out soon. There's a different reason why Abaya would say that you can't return the shtar in our Mishnah. Does that actually require Abaya to come up with a new chiddush of Eidah Bachsum of Zachin Loi? So Tosfos says, in fact, when this Mishum Dekashul Abaya is not actually actually a separate thing. It's not actually referring to Abaya's chiddush of Eidah Bachsum of Zachin Loi. He's saying that Mishum Dekashulei is a separate point. In other words, that Abaya doesn't like Rav Asi's explanation because of that problem. Separately, Abaya had said Eidah Bachsum of Zachin Loi. It's not actually Mishum Dekashulei. Doesn't mean because of that he came up with the chiddush of Eidah Bachsum of Zachin Loi, but rather that's an independent statement. All right, the Gemara asks, Eloha Ditznan, how about though we learn later in our Perek, the next Mishnah, Motza Gite Noshim, if a person finds a woman's get, V'shechrurei Avadim, or he finds a star of the freeing of an Eved, Diatiki, or if he finds a Diatiki, which is a will, the word diatiki, Rashi explains that it comes, it's tzavos shrivmada. You have a person who's on his deathbed, and he has a will written out. The word diatiki stands for doteku, this should stand, because we know that whatever a shrivmada says is as if it's already signed and sealed and handed over. So therefore, diatiki, dotekum, means this will stand. It will be this way. A different explanation of it is the word diatiki is actually the Greek word for this kind of thing, for a will. We often find that the Chachamim took words from other languages and explained them according to words in Lashon Kodesh or in Aramaic, so this could be the same kind of thing. Rashi may not mean that the actual word Diatiki itself originates in Aramaic. It may have originated in some other language, and the Chachamim reinterpreted it in terms of Aramaic. Anyway, so that's a Diatiki. Matona, or you find a Shtar Matona, that somebody says that as a Bori, not as a Shrivmada, that I'm giving away such and such Nechosim to somebody else. V'shevorim. Or he finds receipts for shtaris that have already been paid off. So the Mishnah says, Hareza lo yaxer, all those things you should not return, shemak suvim hayu, because they may have already been written, v'nim lachalein t'loy litam, and then he changed, and then the person who was supposed to give them decided that he doesn't want to give them after all. He's not required to give any of these things. So therefore, So in all those, so you find, for example, so the gifte noshim, for example, you can't return it to the woman because what if the husband hasn't given it yet and therefore so it hasn't taken effect yet? And the same thing with the shuhur avodim and all the rest of them. Now, based on what Abaye is saying, b'chinim l'chaleya mayhavi, what's the difference whether he changed his mind? Didn't you just say that whenever the Edim sign it, then it takes effect? So what's the difference? So what do you mean? So fine, in the case of a get, maybe you could say, okay, listen, you know, until he actually gives it to her, then it's not going to be valid. But the shechura avodim, maybe you could say the same thing. But the diatiki, the matona, the shrivrim, all those are valid to begin with, only dirabanan. So, and according to Abaya, edim achsum of zachim, as soon as you wrote out the diatiki, etc., then it takes effect. And as soon as the edim signed, it takes effect. So why shouldn't you return it? The answer is, hanimi the hech to kamoto liyabe. A buyer would say, when they actually reach the recipient, then you would say that the shibud takes effect retroactive to when it was signed. But when it didn't actually reach him, then no, the fact that the agent signed it yet does not yet take effect, even according to a buyer. So in other words, exactly that. So with a shtar hakna, then it's just enough to sign it. Now we're saying that a shtar hakna, as soon as they sign it, and he doesn't even need, as we said, you can write the shtar for the loiva even before the mal, even when the malva is not present, and it works that way. But here we're talking about a shtar that doesn't have hakna in it, so therefore it takes effect when it reaches the recipient, and then it goes retroactive to when it was signed. The point by the eight of Achsum of Zakenberg. So you still have the issue with those shtaris that I mentioned in that later mishnah. Now the fact is that they haven't necessarily reached the recipient yet, and therefore you can't necessarily be returning them because there is the concern that maybe he wrote it and didn't actually give it yet, and even the fact that the Edom signed it doesn't make it take effect yet. Well, the Gemara asks Elamas Nisit, so Avalhecha the Loy Matul Yadu Le'amrin, and we're not going to say when it didn't actually reach his hand yet. So the Gemara asks, well then Elamas Nisit, well then let's go back to our Mishnah. So we said our Mishnah says you find shtorichov im yesh ben achrayus nechosim lo yaxer. We said if there's achrayus nechosim in them, then you shouldn't return them because there's a concern of taking away from lekuchas shaloi kadin. And we established at the beginning of the Gemara that we're talking about chayev moida. We're talking about the loiver whose name is written in the shtar. Admits that the shtar has not been paid off yet. And you're saying that he might have written the shtar in Nisan and didn't actually borrow until Tishrei, and as Tosfos had said before, maybe it means that he hadn't even borrowed yet at the time the shtar was lost. Well then, so how does this work out? So b'shleimelet of Asi de'oma b'shtariach niyasa. So appointed of Asi who says that at the top of the Amud that we're talking about shtari hakna. A hakna is the word for it in Hebrew. Akniyasa is the equivalent word in Aramaic. So appointed of Asi that we're saying what kind can you write in advance is only shtari akniyasa mukilo b'shtari delav akniyasa. So he's going to explain, like we said before, our Mishnah is talking about a shtar that does not have hakna, and we're concerned that as we said before, that maybe even though such a shtar is not supposed to be written in the first place without the malva being present, maybe in this case, nevertheless, it was written in violation of the rules. Because again, since we have a reyasa on this shtar, then we have to be concerned about such things. So according to Rav Asi, then it's easy to understand what the case is in our Mishnah. And why it is that you shouldn't return it. Elala Abaya Gama Eid of Achsum of Zochin Loy, Mayitonema. But what are you going to say according to Abaya? If according to Abaya, once the shibud, once the shtar is signed and it reaches the recipient and the shtar, and the shibud is chal, what's the problem? What's the problem? Once the Edom signed it, then the shibud takes effect. Now you're going to say, the Ritva points out, you're going to say that maybe the shtar never reached the malva yet. The fact is that we're saying over here, chayav moida, the loiva agrees that the shtar was in the hands of the malva and he hasn't paid it off yet. So therefore, there was nesira, it was given over to the malva. So there's no problem with all of that. So then in that case, according to Abaya, why shouldn't you return the shtar? The answer is Amalach Abaya, Masnissin, Hainu Taima. The reason for our Mishnah that you don't return the shtar, it's not because the shibud didn't take effect already. It's because Dechayish LePeiroin LePnunia. Abaya is concerned about the problem. Maybe in fact he did pay it back. Maybe in fact the loiva did in fact pay it back. And now the loiva is the one who dropped the shtar. Why is he saying Loi Paraiti? Why is he saying I didn't pay it back? And therefore the shtar is still valid because he's trying to. He and the malva are colluding together. They're going to figure that what are we going to do then? I really paid you back. Meanwhile, we're going to go and claim in front of everybody that I didn't pay you back yet. I'm going to say I don't have what to pay back. You're going to end up taking away property from the lekuchas, and then we'll go split it among ourselves. So therefore, you have that problem of knunya. So when there's achrayus nechosim, you have that problem. When there's no achrayus nechosim, then Rav Meir says, listen, you're not going to have any problem of lekuchas in the first place, because no achrayus nechosim, the chum are going to say that achrayus tos sofer, and therefore it doesn't matter achrayus or not. Which means Tosfos points out, it comes out according to Rav Asi, there's not necessarily a distinction. Rav Asi and Abaya would both explain Rav Meir's and the Chachamim's opinions in the Mishnah the same way. The difference of whether there's a Achrayus involved or not is a Achrayus Tos Sofer. But again, the difference is Rav Asi is going to say that our Mishnah is talking about there's no Hakna, and the concern is that maybe it was written when it shouldn't have been written. And according to Abaya, we're talking about that the Shtar was written and the Loiva is saying I didn't pay it, but maybe that's only a Knunya. Maybe in fact they're doing it only in order to play a trick on the lekuchas and take away properties from them. Tosfos actually wonders, why don't we do something else? Why don't we be concerned also, forget about Knunya, what if the shtar was already paid off and now he wants to reuse the same shtar in order not to have to pay a sofer again? And the answer is, people are not going to do that. So to make the lekuchas lose a lot of money just in order to save a couple of pennies that you would have to pay the sofer, that you're not going to worry about. And also there's always the concern, Tosfos points out, the malva may hear that the malva may be concerned that people will hear the fact that it was already paid off, and therefore that there's no shtar on the second halvah at all, and then he can't collect from anything, he can't collect from the chosim b'shabodim at all, so therefore he's not going to try to do such a thing. So here we're saying in the Gemara, knunya they might try doing, where they figure they can get away with it, but to reuse the same shtar for a second halvah, they may figure, A, it's not worth it to do that, just to save a couple of pennies on the schar sofer, we're not going to do such a thing to other people. And number two, there's always the concern that people will hear that there is in fact no valid shtar on the second halva, because once it was paid off, the shtar is worthless, and therefore he's not going to take the chance. So Abaya will explain the Mishnah that way. So the Gemara asks, to Shmuel de Omar, what about the Shmuel de Omar loichashin lepiroin? Now what about though? Shmuel says later in the sugya when you find a shtar, Shmuel says later on in the sugya, if you find a shtar hakna, then you can return it. So not like we said before, according to Rav Asi, that once a shtar hakna is the case of our Mishnah, and you shouldn't return it, because we're concerned that maybe it was we were saying before that a shtar hakna, Rav Asi was saying, is the kind of shtar that can be written for the loiva without the malva, and since he was mishabed himself at the beginning, then fine. So we said, so our Mishnah, so Rav Asi had understood our Mishnah to say that it's shtar, it's not hakna, and the concern is maybe it was written against the rules. But a shtar hakna, presumably, Rav Asi would have no problem returning. Well, later on in the Sugya, Shmuel says that explicitly. If you find a shtar hakna, then you can return it. Because, and then the Gemara says over there, because we're not concerned, and Shmuel points out the reason is, if in fact it was paid off, then it would have been ripped off. It would have been ripped up. So he says, loy chashin al peron. So he says, when we find, loy chashin al peron. So when we find a shtar hakna, we're not concerned that maybe, loy chashin al peron al knun. So we're saying that, that no, we're not concerned that maybe it was paid off, and we're not concerned about knunya. Because according to him, as soon as the shtar is paid off, it's supposed to be written up. It's supposed to be ripped up. My ikal meimer. So according to how would Shmuel understand our Mishnah? How would Shmuel understand our Mishnah to be say that we're saying that according to Abayim? So we have to figure out which opinion, which of the two opinions that we're saying over here would Shmuel agree with. So Hanicha is Sava like Rav Asi. So it works out easily enough if Shmuel holds like Rav Asi, the Amar B'Shtari Hakna, where he says that when can you write a shtar without the Malva being present is Shtari Hakna, but otherwise not. Muki Mas Nissen. So he's going to explain like Rav Asi that our Mishnah is talking about B'Shtari Delav Hakna. There's no Hakna over here, and therefore the Shibur is Chal only when the loan actually takes place. And therefore, you have the concern over here again, since the shtar was lost and now found, it has a reyasa, and therefore we have to be concerned that maybe this particular shtar was written against the rules. Ela, isava kabaya, but if you're going to tell me that, that Shmuel holds like Abaya, the Omer Edom Achsum of Zochin Loi, where Abaya says it doesn't matter, Hakna or not, either way, once the Edom signed the shtar and once it's delivered to the recipient, then it's Chal, Ma'ikol Meimer, then what are you going to say? How is Shmuel going to understand? How is Shmuel going? So Abaya was saying this concern about Peroin and Knunya, but Shmuel holds that we're not concerned about Peroin and Knunya. So therefore, but nevertheless, we could still say that maybe only in the case of a shtar hakna is Shmuel not concerned about peroin knunya. So the question would be, how would he understand in our mission? If he holds like Abaya's understanding of Eder Basum of Zach and Lloyd, then what is the case that he's going to say is going on in our mission? The answer is Shmuel Mokhi Namas Nissin, B'she'en Chayev Moidin. Shmuel is going to say, Bechlal, all this time we've been talking about where the loiva admits that the shtar hasn't been paid off yet. So that required us to say, therefore, according to Rav Asi, we're concerned that maybe the shtar hadn't been used yet, that maybe it was written where it shouldn't have been written, and it hasn't been used yet, and therefore it's a shtar. No, you don't have that issue. And according to Abaya, the vort is Eid Bachsum of Zochin Loi. But both of those are dependent on the idea that we're assuming in our Mishnah that the loiva agrees, or actually we said according to Abaya, the problem is Peroin or Knunya, that also requires that the loiva is agreeing that in fact he hadn't paid off yet. Shmuel doesn't have to say that. Shmuel can say that Ein Chayev Moida, that we're talking about, that the one who is Chayev on the basis of the Shtar is not admitting that in fact he owes the money. He's claiming that he never borrowed the money, or he's claiming that the shtar is forged or something. So that would be a different reason why not to return it. Yes, Shmuel is not concerned about Peroin or Knunya, but he is concerned about that, he is concerned about is the shtar genuine or not. So it's true. Now Rashi points out, it is true that, of course, how could Shmuel hold like a buyer? Because according to Abaya, there's no difference between a shtar hakna and any other kind. And Shmuel's din says specifically about a shtar hakna. But no, Abaya would agree, as we said, when the shtar hasn't reached him yet. So then when the shtar hasn't reached the recipient yet, it doesn't take effect. So there is still the concern. So even with a shtar hakna, it may never have reached the recipient. So that's why the Gemara is asking, is it possible to make Shmuel's and Abaya's opinions agree with one another? And we're saying that, yes, Shmuel can say that our Mishnah is Bechlal talking about where the Loiva doesn't admit that the Shtar is valid in the first place. He says it's forged. And Rashi also adds, since the shtar had fallen, since the shtar was lost and then found, again, like we said before, there's a reyes in it, therefore we have to be concerned, maybe, so like we said yesterday, subconsciously, because he knows it's fossil, therefore subconsciously he wasn't careful with it and lost it, and therefore we have more reason to believe the loiva. In a normal case, we wouldn't believe the loiva to say that it's forged, according to Shmuel, we can say that our Mishnah is talking about where the loiva never admits in the first place that it was a valid shtar. So far we have, in other words, three ways of understanding what's going on in our Mishnah. We have Rav Asi's way of understanding that we're talking about you found a shtar that does not have a kna in it, and the concern is that maybe it was written illegally, and therefore you shouldn't return it if it has a chrayus nechassim according to everybody, and if it doesn't have a chrayus nechassim only according to the chachamim, should you not return it? Rav Meir is not going to worry about it because he holds a chrayus. If there's no chrayus, then there's no problem with lechukos. That's according to Rav Asi. According to Abaya, we're talking about any kind of shtar, and we're saying that we're concerned about piroin and knunya. We're concerned that it may have been paid off, and the loiva and the malva are colluding together. And then you have Shmuel's way, and both of those are assuming that chayev moide. Both of those are assuming that the loiva agrees to begin with that this is a valid shtar, and he's saying I didn't pay it off yet. So according to Rav Asi, the concern is that he may not have actually taken out the loan yet, and according to Abaye, the concern is that he may have already paid it off, and now they're trying to do a kanun. Shmuel, meanwhile, we're saying, is going to say a third possibility. We're talking about Bechlal, in Chayev Moida, to begin with, the loiva is claiming that this is a forged shtar. So the Gemara says, Yehochi, ki ein ben achrayus nechosim, amai yachzit. Well, if the loiva is claiming that the shtar is forged, then how can we return it? If there's, according to the mayor, if there's no achrayus nechosim, isn't there the problem? Granted, the malva is not going to be able to collect from the Shabbodim because there's no achrayus, and according to the mayor, the fact that the achrayus is missing means there is no achrayus, therefore there's no shibud on karka, and therefore the lakuchas never get involved. But at least with a shtar, you can collect from b'nei chorin, and if there's the concern over here that the loiva is claiming that the shtar is forged, why are we just saying unilaterally return it to the malva and let him be able to collect with the shtar? What if what the loiva is saying is true and the shtar is forged? The answer is Shmuel v'taimei. Shmuel is going according to his own shita. D'amar Shmuel, oimer hoyer Reb Meir. In fact, Shmuel says Reb Meir would say that shtar chayv she'ein v'achrayus nafasim ein goyva loy me'mashabdi v'loy me'bnei chori. When a shtar does not have achrayus nafasim in it, then Reb Meir is going to say that you can't collect anything with it. There's no shibud in it. So the Ritva explains, in other words, the idea is that, like this, we have a concept in Halacha called Mipihem v'loy mipik savam. This was actually in Rambam Shloish HaPerakim these last couple of days. Eidim, when they testify, they have to testify verbally. Minat Torah, there's no such thing as Eidim writing down their address and sending it to Beis Din. Like this, Lahavdol, in the secular court system, sometimes you have, when a person can't appear in person in court, and they take a deposition from him, and they bring the transcript of that to Beis Din. And they bring the transcript of that to court. In Beis Din, there's no such thing. However, midrabbanon, there is the concept that Adam can sign an ashtar, and in fact, we consider as though the address was already cross-examined and verified. However, the Ritva explains, in order for that to work, the ashtar has to be accomplishing something. Reb Meir is going to take the view, given that according to him, achrayus lav tov sofer, if it doesn't say achrayus and ashtar, it's not a mistake on the sofer's part. It means the shtar is missing something essential in it. Well, then, Reb Meir is going to say, he says the Ritva, in effect, the shtar is not really accomplishing anything. So we're back to Mipiyam, below Mipik Savam. How can we say, well, there are Edim on the shtar. The Edim, in effect, are just writing down their testimony and giving it to us, and that's not a valid Edis, unless their Edis is actually accomplishing something. And in this case, a shtar without achrayus, then Reb Meir is going to say, doesn't work. So Shmuel is going to hold like that. He's going to understand that, and Rashi also adds, therefore, that even Yiskayim Bechoismav, even if we were to have the signatures validated, it wouldn't help, but it's still, the fact is there's no Achrayus in it, and again, you do have a Reus in it in the first place, and the Loiver is claiming that he never wrote the Shtar. So again, the point is, we're saying because there's a, because there's no achrayos in it, then therefore it really becomes more like a milval peh. Rashi actually explains later that it becomes a milval peh in effect, since there's no achrayos. And again, the Ritva says the point because the shtar is not really doing anything useful. Tosfos in Avinu Perek says another point. Who's gonna lend money without a shibud nechassim? The very fact that there's no achrayos in this shtar makes us suspect that there's something wrong with it and it really is forged. So whatever the reason is, Shmuel is going to understand, Rav Meir, that way, that such a shtar is completely worthless. Well, in that case, there's no problem returning it to the Malva, because he's not going to be able to collect with him anyway. So the Gemara asks, well, then what's the point of returning it? What's the Malva going to do with it? The answer is, Amar Abnasan Ba'oshia, Lotso, Apitzvachistish on Malva, because the Malva can use it as a bottle stopper. So that, the Gemara asks for Nehed Rehula Loiva, lots of people for Fisisha Loiva. Well, then in that case, we might as well, if it's anyway a worthless shtar, we might as well equally well return it to the Loiva and let him use it as a bottle stopper. And the answer is, Loiva Hu De'omar, Loiva Hu Dvorim Olam. After all, Loiva is the one claiming that the whole thing never happened. He's the one who's claiming it's a forged shtar. So why should he be given back the shtar, which he himself is claiming that the shtar never existed in the first place. Tosfos actually has a long discussion over here. Are we in fact talking about that the loiva is claiming that it was forged, or is he claiming are there different other possibilities of what we could say that he's claiming? If you say loihoid vorim olam means I paid it back, then you could again say it was a valid shtar in the first place, and there's no reason to give it back to the loiv. But then Tosfos asks, okay, so Tosfos goes on to ask, okay, so then if there's a chrayus nechosim in it, so the loiva is claiming that it's forged, so fine, we need to do kiyum on it. Once we do kiyum, then we validate signatures are good and that the shtar is valid. So then in that case, it's a valid shtar. So why in that case then, Tosfos says, then why would the Mishnah be saying that if there's a chrayus nechosim, you can't return it? If we're saying, according to Shmuel, we're talking about that the loiva is claiming that it was forged, fine, but in that case, then all we have to do is kiyum, and then we're good. And Tosfos discusses this. Do we mean maybe he's gonna take it out against the Lakuchos or against the Yesomim, and they're not gonna be able to claim Mizuyah, and even Beis Din won't claim on their behalf because it's an unusual claim. But no, Tosfos says that it's not because of that. And then Tosfos goes on and discusses various things. Ultimately, Tosfos says that according to Shmuel and Rav Asi, for that matter, we're talking about that the loiva is not here. So when there's no achrayus nechosim yachzir, then you can go ahead and return it. When the malva wants to collect with it, then if we need to claim mezuyah, then we'll do that. And if he's Makayim it, then good. But here we're talking about the loiva is present and he's claiming mezuyah. And since we already have a reis on the shtar, then therefore we shouldn't return it, because then we still have the concern that he might try to collect from it, from Yisoyim or from Lakuchus or whatever, without the loiva being around. So Tosfos, in other words, is drawing a distinction between when to begin with the shtar was never lost and the loiva is not around, the malva is trying to claim with it. We're not necessarily going to claim the zuyah over there, even though we try to claim anything we can on behalf of Yisoyim and on behalf of Lakuchus. Such an unusual thing, we're not going to claim. But here, when to begin with the loiva is claiming that it's forged, then we have the concern, even if we're Makayim it, what if it was a really, really good forgery? Okay, in any case, the point is that, again, so... So,
he said there is
obviously
because it was lost, right?
We're saying a lot of this is only because it was lost, exactly. So again, we're saying, according to Shmuel, we're talking about that the loiva never is saying that to begin with, I never borrowed this money, the shtar is forged, and that's why we shouldn't return it. So we're saying when there's no achrayus nechosim in it, then according to the mayor, you can return it, because Shmuel understands the mayor to be saying that then the shtar is useless for collecting with anyway. All it's useful for is as a bottle stopper, so there's no problem returning it to the malva. But if there's achrayus nechosim, meaning that the shtar is actually accomplishing something, then you have the concern, after all, the loiva is saying it's forged, so therefore you shouldn't return it.
But
According to Rameir holds that Achayas is not Tosei, but the Chum hold that it is. That's why the Chum don't make the distinction in the Mishnah. Meanwhile, we said, according to Rav Asi and according to Abaya, we're talking about Chayav Moida, the Loiva is admitting that it was a valid Shtar to begin with. And the concern is, according to Rav Asi, the question is, was it written when it shouldn't have been written? Is it a Shtar? It's a Shtar without Hakna, and it shouldn't have been written without the Malva being present, but yet maybe it was, and therefore the Shibur doesn't actually take effect until the Halva takes place, until the loan actually takes place, and meanwhile he's taking away from Lekuchas where he shouldn't. And according to Abaya, the vote is he may have actually paid it back, and they're doing Knunya over here in order to take away from Lekuchas. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omer of Elazar, Machlokas Bishain Chayev Moide. Again, like Shmuel says, Rav Elazar understands our Mishnah to be saying that the Machlokas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim, that, again, Rav Meir says when there's no Achrayus Nechosim, you can return it. And according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter, Achrayus or not, that would only be Bishain Chayev Moide, only when the Loiva is saying that I don't actually owe this money, he's saying that the Shtar is for you. So the underlying machlokas is Rameyer holds shtar she'en ma'achayas nechosim ain't a goy v'loimim shabdi v'loimim nechari. As we just said, Rameyer considers such a shtar useless for collecting anything with, because for the various reasons we said, it's not actually functioning as a shtar, and there's a concern that maybe it really was forged, because who would lend money under such conditions in the first place? Or like the Ritva says, because then it amounts to mepiyim v'loimim piksavim, and in that case we just have a written record of a verbal testimony of Adim, and you can't use that. So Rav Meir holds you can't collect with such a shtar anyway. And what? How would it look different? So Rav Meir, no, I mean, it says the words Achrayus, and it says that if Achrayus says a shtar shigesh by Achrayus would mean that it says in it whatever real estate I own now and whatever I'm going to buy in the future is meshubud to this debt. Without Achrayus Nechosim, we're missing that part. So the mayor would hold that when there's no Achrayus Nechosim, you can't collect with it from anything, not from the Shabbatim, not from the Nechorin. So therefore, then the only thing you could use it for is a bottle stopper, so then fine. But Rabbanan Sabri and Rabbi Elazar continues, like we just explained, according to Shmuel, same thing, the Meshabdi hu de la Gavi al Nechori Migva Gavi. The Chum are going to say, granted, you can't collect from the Chosim of Shabbatim with such a shtar, but you can collect from the Chosim, you can collect from the Chosim of Nechorin. These words are in parenthesis over here because a number of Rishonim do not have it in their Girsa. The Ramban and the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva point out that even Rabbi Elazar holds according to the Chacham Achrayus Tos Sofer, so it doesn't matter whether there's a Achrayus in it or not. You could collect from the Shabbatim. So according to them, the Gira says just Rabban and Sabri Migva Gavi. The Chum hold, which you could collect with it, not a matter of the Shabbatim of Bnei Chorin, because they hold Achrayus Tos Sofer, even though the Shtar does not have the word Achrayus in it, the concept of Achrayus in it. Nevertheless, we consider as though it was written, and therefore, according to the Chumim, yes, you could collect from the Chosim the Shabbatim with it. There's some discussion about that based on the later on the Gemara is going to bring up that point of Achrayus Tos Sofer. It hasn't brought it up yet, so maybe at this point, maybe at this stage in the argument, Rav Elazar would say that there's a difference. Anyway, the point is the Chum would say that there is something that you could collect with the Shtar, depending on the different Gusars and the different explanation. At least you could collect from Bnei Chorin and maybe even from the Shabbatim. So that would be the reason behind the Machlok, says Rav Elazar. Abel Shachayev Moide, but if the loiva is in fact admitting that he owes the money, divrei hakol yachzir, then Rav Elazar says everybody would agree you do return the shtar, beloy chayshin on the perdon and laknunya, namely like you said on Amon Aleph. Just like Shmuel had said, Rav Elazar would say, we're not concerned about Piroin Knunya. We're not concerned that he may have actually paid back the loan, and now they're doing a Knunya in order to take away from the Lekuchas. Rav Elazar says, we're not concerned about that. So the Gemara is going to bring the Gemara is going to bring further on a Braisa, which says that Rameyer is concerned about that. So in that case, how can we say that a mayor is not concerned about Peron and Kanunya? So Rabbi Hananel explains actually that the Gemara is the fact is Rabbi Lazar is not actually saying in so many words that we're talking about that we're not concerned about Peron and Kanunya. So in other words, that the Avok Shachayev Moida is not actually part of what Rabbi Lazar is saying. Rabbi Lazar is just saying that Shachayev Moida Divra Hakol Yaksir. The Gemara is editorializing on what Rabbi Lazar says because the Chashin and the Peron and the Kanunya. So the Gemara can't ask on Rabbi Meir. Yeah, but the Gemara can't ask on Rabbi Lazar. Yeah, but in a Braisa, the Meir says differently because Rabbi Lazar never said that point in the first place. The Gemara is just explaining Rabbi Lazar using those words. Anyway, that's the point of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yechanan on Machloikas Shachayev Moida. And again, Tosfos says, by the way, as far as that it was pre-written, we're not concerned, because to that extent, Rabbi Lazar holds like a baya that aided b'chsum of zaken loy. And as far as Kanunya, again, when there's no achrayus, then there can't be Kanunya, at least unless we assume that achrayus tos sefer, as the Gemara is going to say later. According to Rabbi Lazar, when Chayev Moida, there's no problem why you can't return it. He admits that it's a valid shtar, so there's no concern that it's forged. We're not concerned that he paid it off. We're not concerned that it was written when it shouldn't have been written, like Rav Asi, because as Tosfos says, he holds like a buyer the Eidim Vachsum of Zachin Loi. Once the shtar was signed by the Eidim and delivered to the Malva, then it takes effect, whether the Halvah took place or not. And as far as Peron and Kanunya, we're saying they're not concerned about that. Shtar Akna says that I'm Makna, my Nechosin to you, I'm Meshabed, my Nechosin to you as of now.
So
that was a point of Rabbi Lazar. But Rabbi Yochanan on the machlokas b'shachayev moida. Rabbi Yochanan says no. The machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan learns more like Abaya and Rabbi Asi on Rabban Aleph that we are talking about in our Mishnah b'shachayev moida. The loiva agrees that the shtar is valid, that he hasn't yet paid back the thing. That a mayor saw a shtar she'en ba'achrayas b'chasim min the shabdihu de legavi av b'nei chori mikbagavi. Now Rabbi Yochanan holds, not like Shmuel and not like Rabbi Lazar, that we said that according to the Meir, you can't collect the shtar that has no achrayus, you can't collect it all. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even Rabbi Meir will allow you to collect some b'nei chorim shtar. So according to him, shchayev moida, so you're talking about the loiva admits that the shtar is valid. So fine, there's no problem of collecting from Lekuchas, because you can only collect from B'nai Chorin, so therefore no problem. He himself is admitting that the shtar is valid and he still owes the money. So fine, if Malva ends up getting the shtar back and collecting from him, no problem. He himself said it's a valid shtar. But Rabbanan Savrim, Meshabdi, Nami Gavi, the Chum are going to hold, Achrayus or not, you can still collect from the Chosim Meshabadim, so you have the concern that maybe we're going to take away from Lekuchas with a shtar that's invalid. No, not because it's forged. The loiva is not claiming that it's forged, and we're not going to claim on behalf of the lekuchas that it's forged, like Tosfos said before. But there is the concern that maybe it was written where it shouldn't have been written or something, like Rav Asi is saying. But when ein chayev moida, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say when the loiva does not agree in the first place that it was a valid shtar, that he claims that it was forged, divrei hakol lo yachzir b'chashin l'peiroin, then everybody agrees you shouldn't return it. Not so much because we're concerned it's forged, but because we're concerned that it might have been paid off of it. So that would be another way of explaining the mission. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavaseid Rav Yochanan. Now we learn a Braisa, like the way Rav Yochanan understands it, Otiyufta de Rav Lazar B'chodi, Otiyufta de Shmuel B'tarati. This Braisa seemingly contradicts Rav Lazar on one point and seemingly contradicts Shmuel on two points. So the Braisa goes like this. Motza Shtori Chayv, a Braisa says, if a person found Shtori Chayv, the Yeshbam Achrayus Nechosim, these Shtoris do have Achrayus Nechosim written into them, Afapisha Shneim Moidim, even though both of them admit that it is a valid shtar and that the choiv is still outstanding, loy, What? The Loy van the Malva. Lo Yachzu, Loy Lozev, Loy Lozev. You shouldn't return it to either one. Now before we said that according to Shmuel, we're talking about that our Mishnah is saying Ein Chayev Moida. Here we're saying that we're talking about Chayev Moida, and we're still saying you don't return. And it also contradicts Rabbi Elazar for the same reason. Ein Ben Achrayus Nechosim. If there's no Achrayus Nechosim in the Shtar, Vizman Shah Loiva Moida. If the Loiva agrees that there was a loan over here and he hasn't paid it back, Yachzul Malva, then you can return the shtar to the Malva, because then there's no problem. Ein aloiva moida lo yachzul lo lozev lo lozev. And if the loiva does not agree that it's valid, or he claims that he paid it back, or that it's forged, or whatever, lo yachzul lo lozev lo lozev, divrei Meir, then Meir says you don't return it to either one. Shahoyer Meir Omer, and the reason behind that is, Meir says, shtori sheyesh bam achrayus nechosim. Meir says that when there are shtaris that have achrayus nechosim, goyvim and achosim b'shabodim, then as usual, you can collect when there's no achrayus nechosim, you can collect from nechosim b'nei chorin. Now that contradicts Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, who said before that no, when a shtar doesn't have achrayus, then a mayor would hold, you can't collect with it at all. We said before, for various reasons that Rishonim bring, when the shtar has no achrayus nechosim, and a mayor does not hold achrayus tos sofer. That's what we're talking about, Meir. So therefore, the shtar is not a valid shtar. And according to the Meir, you can't collect anything with it. And they hear the Braise saying that no, there's no achrayus nechosim. You can collect from nechosim nechorin. Either way, you can collect from nechosim mishabadim. So tiyuvta de rabbalaz v'chada. So the result is then we have a contradiction on rabbalazer. From one point in this Braisa, the Omar, where Rabbi Elazar is saying, Rabbi Elazar had said that according to the mayor, so the shtar is useless for collecting. Also, Rabbi Elazar is saying that neither the mayor nor the Chachamim are concerned about that it was paid off and that there's Knunya. But it's saying you could collect from nechosim b'nechorin. V'katoni, and furthermore, it says, bein l'rabban and bein l'rameir chashin l'knunya. And we're saying that according to both of them, you're concerned for knunya. V'katoni, afapi sh'shneim modim, l'yachso, l'lozev, l'lozev. He's saying, even though they both admit that the shtar is valid, you don't return it to either one. So, alma chashin l'knunya, showing, therefore, that rameir is concerned about knunya. Now you could say maybe it's not because of Knunia. Tosfa says it could be because he wrote it early and didn't borrow the money yet, but still Rabbi Elazar is saying Yachzu, it doesn't matter, you can return it either way, and there's no chash when Chayav Moida, one way or the other, you should have to be concerned either about Knunia or that it was written early. And Rabbi Elazar doesn't seem to be concerned about any of that. So fine, you could say, in other words, like we said before, Rabbi Elazar himself did not necessarily say anything about Knunya. Maybe the Gemara only editorialized that in what he's saying. But the fact is, he's still saying Yachzu, you return it, and we're not concerned that it may have been pre-written, whereas in the Braisa, we're saying that there are concerns about such things. So therefore, so you have two ways in which this Braisa contradicts. So we have one question the Gemara is saying on Rabbi Elazar. So you might ask, what do you mean one question? Vahani tired to you. You have two. We just pointed out two questions. Number one, whether there's achrayus nechosim, whether you can collect at all. And number two, whether we're concerned about knunya. So we have two contradictions on Rabbi Elazar. Why is the Gemara saying it? Why is the Gemara saying that there's only one question on it? And the answer is chodahu. The answer is chodahu. It's really only one. It's really only fundamentally one question. The Chad Tamu, it's really all based on one, the whole thing that Rabbi Elazar had said. Why had Rabbi Elazar said both of those points? It all derives from the same reason. The Mishum de Ka'amar Rabbi Elazar Machlokas B'Shein Chayev Moida. Because he learned our Mishnah as talking about that Ein Chayev Moida, that the Loiva is claiming the Shtar is forged, whom Matarat Tachi is what required him to say that according to the mayor, you can't collect it with such a shtar at all. Because otherwise, then what? So like this. The mayor had started with the point that we're talking about Ein Chayev Moida. Now, how does, now in that case, then how could a mayor say there's a case where you return the shtar? And the answer would be, necessarily, that requires him to say, when the shtar does not have a chayus, then you can return it because then it's worthless to collect with anything. The fact that he said, so now when he says, that automatically requires him to say, in other words, it all flows from the same point because he started with the assumption that in chayav moida is what requires him to say everything else. So therefore, the Gemara is not calling it two questions on Rabbi Elazar because one, it's fundamentally based on Rabbi Elazar's original understanding, which then everything else flows from it. But we see that that's contradicted by the Braisa. So then we'll continue tomorrow with how the Braisa contradicts Shmuel, and and the fact is, when the Gemara is saying Tziuvda, then it means that's it, you've slugged them up. So therefore, we're not talking about our Mishnah, it's not talking about like Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar had said, She'en Chayav Moida, we are talking about Chayav Moida, we are talking about the Loiva admits that the Shtar is valid. And therefore, you have the point that Rabbi Yochanan and the points that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi and Abaya are saying that you have other considerations. You have the concern of Chashirim Lepiroi and Lepnunia, and that would be a reason when there's Achrayus Nechassim not to return it. And even when there's no Achrayus Nechassim, as we're going to learn later, the Chamhol, Achrayus Toros Seiferhu, so it doesn't matter whether Achrayus is present in the Shtar or not. Either way, it can be used to collect from Lekuchas, and you have the problem that he may have paid it back already, and now they're trying to do a Knun. So, as we learned yesterday, you have Machlokas Rishonim. What if, after all, you do go and return the Shtar, even with all these concerns? According to the Rambam, no problem. You can continue collecting with it as though there was never a problem with it in the first place. According to the Raiva, no.